Welcome, everyone, to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become highly effective influencers. As always, I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and joining me today is our lead pastor, Ronnie Rothy, and we also get the pleasure of having Ashley Wietrich, our Next Gen Director and Relevant Kids Ministry Leader. Good morning, Ronnie and Ashley.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so Ashley, if anyone is listening, there's a good chance they probably know who you are if they have kids, but there's a good chance that they don't know kind of how you got where you are today. One thing we love to do with all of our guests is to hear a little bit of your story, just how you got into ministry, what you did before coming to Relevant, and how you got to Relevant. So would you share a little bit with our listeners just about your story?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian home, and church was a major part of our family. And went to a small Bible church where the pews were full of missionaries that served in Africa, and most of them were women, and they became my Sunday school teachers. And so growing up, I always felt like I had a call to ministry, but in my mind, because of the women that were in my life, I thought that it only could be being a missionary in Africa. So growing up, I thought that's what I was going to do. But then as I grew older, our church just allowed me to be in roles where I could teach children even at a young age. They kind of just threw us in, and I just started having a heart for kids and to share Jesus with them. And so with those passions, I didn't know if I wanted to become a teacher or go into ministry. And so the college I chose actually allowed me to major in both majors. And so I went to college with getting an elementary education degree and a children's ministry degree.
And where did you go to school?
I went to school in Sterling College in Kansas. So It's right in the middle of the state of Kansas in a very small town.
But not as small as the town you grew up in. I mean, you grew up on a farm.
Yes, I did.
You grew up in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they promised that I could get both degrees in 4 years. And so I took them up on it and just continue to seek God and what he had to do with my life. And I just always had a heart to serve and just a desire to do what God wanted to use me in my life. And in college, I had an opportunity to do my student teaching in Chicago.
Okay, hold on quick there 1 second, Ashley. So one thing that people may not know about you and me is you're Christy, my wife's cousin. You guys are first cousins. Your mom and Christy's mom are sisters. So you've known Christy, obviously, your entire life. I met you when you were 17 years old, 16 or 17 years old. We're both in our early 40s now, so it's been a few years. Christy and I have been married 22 years. We lived in Chicago. Christy and I lived in Chicago, so I was finishing up school at Moody Bible Institute, and you happened to have your student teaching in Chicago. So, which was crazy. So we got to spend a couple years. Was it 1 or 2 years?
Just a half year because my student teaching. Yeah. It was probably about 8 months.
Yeah. So we got to spend 8 months together in Chicago. We didn't live together, but we spent a lot of time together. But you literally, your student teaching was literally like an inner city Chicago. Just talk about that for a quick second.
Yes. Well, back then, I would say I was ready to save the world and just impact wherever I could for the Lord. And so I cannot believe my parents allowed me to do what I did. And in fact, when they dropped me off, my mom just couldn't believe where I was living. It was in Hyde Park in Chicago. And I didn't know what God wanted to do in my life, but I knew I had a heart for kids and I wanted to make a difference. So I did my student teaching there for 8 months, and on the weekends, I would drive up to the suburbs and spend time with you and Christy, kind of filling my bucket so that I could go back the next week and just pour out and love on these kids.
Yeah.
And in fact, I thought I'd stay there. I interviewed to be there to take a job, but God had other plans for me. He took me back to Kansas to be a Christian school teacher of second graders of a class of 2 girls. I had no idea when I accepted the job that I was going to have that small of a class, but the school had just started. And so during that time, I just did a lot of searching and grew in my confidence as a leader and kind of dabbled in the thought of becoming a principal, but God opened more doors for me to move to Wichita, where I was a fifth grade math and Bible teacher. And so I got to really pour in to my fifth graders and teach them more about my main goal in fifth grade was to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So got to just love on them and see their lives change as they grew up in that environment. But everywhere that I've lived, I've helped in the churches that I've been a part of with student ministry, women's ministry, my heart, I love. Back then, we called it Vacation Bible School, and then I helped start a college ministry at the church I was attending where I met my husband, Josh.
Yeah, so you're in Wichita, you meet Josh.
Yep.
You guys get married, you're teaching at a Christian school, and then Ronnie recruits you up to Relevant, and that was 12 years ago now.
Yes.
So you come up to Relevant, you were going to be part-time. Mm-hmm. Relevant Kids ministry leader, you start doing it. How's your role progressed throughout the year? So what's your role now?
So 5 years ago, you asked me to pray about becoming the next gen director here at Relevant, and God had
all our next gen ministries, Relevant Kids, Sprouts, Rooted, Youth United, all fall under that.
Mm-hmm. And prior to me even knowing that was the direction that you were going to ask me to go, Nick and Christy and I had gone to an Orange conference in Atlanta, and I just remember sitting in one of the breakouts, and God just opened my heart to not only just ministering to children, but just having a heart for parents and students, and just God just kept nudging my heart during those days of just taking a step of faith. And then I didn't know, but a few weeks later, you would call me into your office and ask me to pray from going to part-time to full-time and adding that to my plate. So currently, I oversee the Next Gen department, and I lead the Relevant Kids Ministry and adding the Parenting Through the Phases class as well, yep. Teaching that.
Ashley, let me tell you the cool thing about you, and then we'll jump in after this. Like, you came in, 12 years ago, you started Relevant as a teacher. Like, you were a yes. teacher, and you're still, and you're an amazing teacher, and you still do a lot of teaching, but over the years, you've truly developed into a leader who's a highly effective influencer. You lead the biggest department of our entire church, and I believe to be the most important department because we're fanatics about impacting the next generation. You have a lot of paid staff underneath you. You're a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, and you truly are a great leader, developed into a great leader, and have challenged yourself and have really done the work to grow into a great leader. So that's been super fun to watch. Now you're also a teacher and a leader and a significant part of leading our church forward.
Yeah, Ashley, thank you, so much for taking time to join us today. We're excited you're joining us because of what we always say. Jesus is the hope of the world. His church is his local agents of hope, and great leaders are the hope of the church. And, I just want you to know, Ashley, in my eyes, you are a great leader.
Thank you.
I'm excited for you to be here because you're going to help all of us become better leaders. So as leaders, we all want to lead great teams. We all want to lead great groups, great ministries. We want to create great teams that function at the highest level. We all want to have winning teams. We want to be responsible for creating a great team or group culture. We want to have high-functioning teams and groups that get a lot done. None of us are saying, yeah, I really want to lead a mediocre team.
Right.
Today, we're going to be talking about something that will determine if that happens or not. It will determine if we have a winning team or a group. It will determine if we can accomplish the purpose of our team or our group. This term that is typically seen as a negative, but is so essential. In fact, winning teams only happen through this one word. The word is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to lead the best teams, groups possible, and that's only going to happen if we hold the people we are leading accountable.
Yep.
So, Ronnie and Ashley, we have you guys here today. Excited to hear from you. Why is it so important for us as leaders that we hold the people we lead accountable?
Well, there's so many reasons, but if I had to narrow it down to one reason, it would be this. And this is kind of my big idea with this whole idea of holding people accountable. And it is that you, what you tolerate determines what you create. What you tolerate determines what you create. As leaders, man, we drive culture and performance and outcomes. We drive it with the people we're leading a lot of times through accountability, because holding the people that we lead accountable determines what we create, both positively and negatively. I mean, as leaders, we have expectations about what success looks like, about how the people we're leading need to behave in order for us to get to where we're going, about the culture we want to create in our team or our group, about the people we're leading doing what they're responsible for doing, about what it takes from everyone to win. When we're setting expectations, it doesn't matter what is said, it doesn't matter what's written. What is tolerated by us as leaders becomes the standard. What you tolerate determines what you create. And our team, our group, our ministries, any organization truly will rise or fall on what the leader tolerates. But kind of past that, really, people moving in the same direction, it just doesn't magically happen. I mean, they have to be led there. People and all of us will naturally kind of go to where we want to be, to what we want things to be, to, you know, just places that aren't, that have the least amount of resistance. Well, without accountability, people will, they'll end up somewhere. The people we're leading will end up somewhere, but maybe not to where we want them to be or want our team to be or want our group to be. And believe it or not, without accountability, they'll go to wherever they want. Everyone wants to be part of winning things. And so they actually want to be held accountable too, because without going in the same direction, which does not happen without accountability, we can never win. Our teams and groups really need a forcing function to get the different members working together to accomplish the mission. And that's what accountability is all about.
I agree with Nick. So often we hear accountability and we think as a negative term, but one of my top strengths is as a developer, I just want to see people grow. And so if I look at the lens of why is it important to hold people accountable, it's all about the people that we lead and them growing in their relationship with Jesus or them growing in their leadership roles. And so having people around you to spur you on is going to allow you to grow. And so if you're speaking into someone's life as their leader, it's your desire for them to grow. And so you have to have those conversations. You have to hold them accountable to what is being asked of them or even their time with the Lord. Like, I just remember in college, that was when I was most enthusiastic about my faith, and it was because I had people in my life pouring into me. And so when you join a team or you're in a group, you're inviting people to speak truth into your life. And by doing that, they're going to be holding you accountable to something.
Yeah. And as leaders, that's our responsibility. You know, I mean, you even, you know, made reference to the verse, you know, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. As followers of Christ, like, sometimes that comes through accountability. Sometimes it comes through encouragement and, you know, hey, I'm cheering for you. And sometimes that has to come through accountability. And which has both a positive and negative aspect to it at times.
Yeah, you guys are so right. Accountability is so important. But we got to ask the question, you know, how do we know if we're effectively holding people that we lead accountable?
Well, for me, Nick, I lead paid staff. And on my team, I have Ronnie's wife, Christy. She leads our Sprouts ministry. Devin leads our middle school ministry. And Coleman leads our Youth United ministry, which is our high school ministry. And just funny thing on our team, we spend a lot of time together, but Christy's known as the fun big sister, and they call me the mom. And so I'm choosing to believe that I have the hard conversations with love and just keeping their good in mind and knowing that that's how that little title allows me to know that I'm holding them accountable. But in all seriousness, I think a few ways that we can tell that we are being effective with the people that we lead and holding them accountable. I think the truest test to accountable culture is the rest of the team holding each other accountable. Now that takes a lot of time. I have great amount of time with my paid staff, but I even think about my team on Relevant Kids when I'm leading volunteers.
Yeah. And how many volunteers do you lead, Ashley?
Currently there's about 72 of them.
Yeah. So small team, go ahead.
Yeah.
But having that culture of accountability, it takes a lot of trust. And the team has to know that they have their best intentions in mind. So I think if your team is holding each other accountable and you're not the one that's coming down on them, it takes a lot of time to develop that. But I think there's benefits of your team working together and allowing them to speak into each other's lives. But I also think just little things like, are they meeting the goals that you've set? Have they met the expectations?
Yeah, they're winning.
Yeah, yeah, are they winning? Is everybody moving in the same direction? So also, I think another easy one, which isn't always fun, is just looking at your team's frustration level. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not holding them accountable, people on your team are going to be frustrated. There could be dissension on the team. So those are some positive and negative things, what to look for.
Yeah, absolutely. Positive, what? Yeah, people doing what expected. You're holding them accountable. Your team's winning. Your group's winning. Holding accountable. Culture's being created. You want to see created. You're holding people accountable because that doesn't happen by accident. Negative wise, I agree with you, Ashley. I think the word frustration is maybe the easiest way to know if you're holding people accountable. Are you frustrated and are others frustrated? If you are, or if others are on the team or in the group, either frustrated with the culture, frustrated of how things are going, it's probably an indication that people are going in many different directions. People aren't living up to what's expected, the responsibilities. That creates an enormous amount of frustration. Well, what you tolerate is what you create. And so that's probably being created because we as the leaders maybe aren't holding people accountable to those things.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love what you said when you're talking about your team, your paid staff, your next gen team, is just that you all have different roles. And to me, accountability is the role of the leader. And so if your team isn't going in one direction together, then you know, as a leader, you're not doing your job.
Absolutely.
So like I said at the beginning, you know, accountability is usually seen as a negative word. Truth is, it's not easy to do. It's not something that typically we think of as fun. What are some things that you've either seen or experienced that prevent leaders from holding the people they lead accountable?
Well, if I was to look back on the last 10 years of being a leader, I really think this is where I've had to grow the most, because often holding people accountable in my mind, it's a struggle because I have a fear. My fear is they might quit,
right?
Because they're just a volunteer. Or what if they don't like me? Like, it's that conflict in me. So I just remember a few years ago, it was before the days of the hub and scheduling, Ronnie and I were having a coaching meeting, and you asked me what one of my frustrations was with my job. And I just shared with you, like, my volunteers, they just don't even show up on Sunday mornings. And it's not, I don't get a phone call, they just don't show. And so in turn, I really did nothing about it. I just moved on. I filled the role. I didn't address it. And you just encouraged me, like, hey, call them up. Don't scold them. Just let them know that they were missed. And let them know
and
that
they were needed.
And they were needed, yes. And that the kids missed them. And so helping me take the mind, shift my mind on coming down upon them, but instead telling them what they were missing out on or what people were missing out on them, it kind of made that conversation easier for me to have. And so what happened is my volunteers started informing me if they weren't going to be there, or they did show up. And then those that didn't show up eventually just left the team. And so that just helped me a lot to see, you know, they do need to be held accountable, and to tell them the why behind what you're asking them to do.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you in that the thing I think has prevented me from holding people accountable, whether volunteers, paid, doesn't matter, is fear. You know, I have significance in my top five, and when anyone would leave or quit, our church or the people I'm leading would quit, it makes me feel insignificant. Well, that just eats at my soul. And so I have a fear, like, if I do this and if I do it the wrong way or do it too harsh, people are going to quit, then I become insignificant. I also think another thing that I've seen both myself and others, other leaders we have in our church that prevent from holding people accountable, is we lead volunteers. You know, 99% of the people who are serving our church are volunteers, and we've sometimes feel like we can't hold volunteers to a higher standard. But we've got to, because what we tolerate determines what we create.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I think about it for myself, and I remember one of my first leadership roles that I had, and I remember the pastor who was over me. I specifically remember him sitting me down and saying, "Nick, you can't be everybody's friend." And I remember at the time being a college student thinking, like, well, I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to be everybody's friend, you know? And the truth is, like, it's hard. Like, there's a lot that stands in the way. And honestly, there isn't like an exact formula for holding people accountable.
And, we wish there was.
You know, different situations can look different, can require different things. But what are some of the things you guys have either done or seen somebody else do that have really, you know, held people accountable effectively?
Well, I think accountability starts with clarity. Clarity from us as the leaders, clarity of expectations from with the people we're leading, of their responsibilities, of clarity of outcomes, clarity of goals, clarity of the culture we're trying to create. If those things aren't clear as leaders, we got to take extreme ownership and we got to start making them clear. Like, that's truly where accountability starts. Once we are clear, here's three things that I've done that's helped me effectively hold the people I lead accountable, whatever the word effective means. I mean, I definitely have growing to do in this. The first thing is repeat it. Repeat it frequently. Repeat it frequently. Repeat what's expected frequently. Repeat the responsibilities frequently. The goals frequently. This is, you know, we've alluded to this on the Relevant Leader Monthly before. We have these things called paid staff behaviors, and they're 12 behaviors that we've all agreed on as paid staff that we just need to live by, behaviors that we need to live out in order for us to have a healthy church, a healthy culture, a healthy paid staff team. And one of the ways that we repeat them frequently is we have them on the wall in our office where people can see them every day. And then every month at our monthly onsite, which is a half day kind of training for our paid staff, we focus in on one of those. And it's how we just can repeat it frequently. Like, this is the expectation. Secondly, repeat it frequently. Then secondly, reward it publicly. When people are living out the expectations of the responsibilities that you're leading, man, reward it publicly. If they're achieving the goals, reward it publicly, because whatever you want to see repeated, you need to celebrate. Like, if you celebrate it is much more likely to be repeated than if you never celebrate the things that you want to see, people won't naturally repeat it. We're all like, hey, hold the carrot out in front of us. Show us what you want, you know, and when people will naturally start doing what you celebrate. So this, you know, I just referred to our onsites, our monthly paid staff onsites. Every month we give out a paid staff of the month, and we give them this big gargantuous trophy it's just the most hideous trophy ever. It's super tall. And if you get the paid staff of the month, the trophy gets to sit on your desk all months and, you know, be reminded of remind everyone else all month long, I am the paid staff of the month. I'm the king this month. So give them the trophy, and we give them a gift card, and we give it around the paid staff behaviors. So whenever we give that out, like, that's how we reward it publicly. Like, this is what we're seeing in you that you're living out the paid staff behavior, because we want to celebrate, because that's what we want to see repeated. So repeat it frequently, reward it publicly, and then address it immediately. When people aren't meeting expectations, when they aren't coming through and hitting their goals, when they're living out a culture that we don't want to see, you know, lived out, that we've been clear about, you've got to address it immediately. Address it and help them. Address it to help them get back on track, not a address it to get rid of them. Address it to help them get back on track. Sometimes that's done privately. You know, if one person in your team or group is doing it, right, you have a private conversation. You don't address everyone, you know, and because you're too afraid to address an individual person. Sometimes it's done with the whole team or group if the whole team or group is doing it, or if many, many people are doing it. You can address it at one of your T-Life group meetings or in your next gen group, or at your team meeting in a huddle, like whatever, or when you have an evaluation meeting. But I just want to encourage, like, whenever, this is so important, that whenever it's addressed, actually you alluded to this, you go back to the why. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's why this expectation is so important. Here's why this responsibility is so important. Here's why this goal is so important. You're not living it out. You're not doing it. I'm addressing it. What can we do to get back on track? You know, on a very simple level, just as a kind of a silly example of this, we've actually talked about this before. I hate people being late. I hate it because it just, I have an hour meeting scheduled, you're walking in 5 minutes late, all of a sudden I've got to now adjust my meeting schedule because I missed out on 5 minutes that I had scheduled. And so, man, when you're walking in late, I feel like you're not respecting my time, everyone else's time. Well, Arpit, you guys know because you're on the leadership team. So the leadership team, I was seeing this happen. People are coming in late. Meeting starts at 8, walking in at 8:02. And every time I'm just about ready to lose my mind. And so I had to address it with the whole team because it was a culture that was being created on the whole team, a culture that I didn't want to see created. And so I had to address it immediately. So for me, repeat it frequently, reward it publicly, address it immediately.
Yes, I totally agree with all those. And did you notice yesterday everybody was in their seats 5 minutes prior to on-site starting?
Oh, yeah.
So it worked. For me, I'm a relational leader. And so for me to be able to do this, the next gen team has a term we call make it personal. And so it's just to remember everything we do is about relationships with our team, our students, our kids. And so I think that's crucial to have a relationship with those that are in your group or on your team, because if they know you love them or are for them, they're easily going to follow you and to respond when you do hold them accountable.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line, we hold the people we lead accountable because we're wanting to move in a direction together. I think back of when I first started here at Relevant and I was leading Youth United, and I just remember all the time I would think, I could have swore I've communicated this. How come my leaders don't know? And, you know, there was times where it was because I had said it once.
Right. Got to repeat it frequently.
You know, there was other times where I was like, I wasn't rewarding anything.
Right.
And so they didn't, you know, they weren't constantly reminded of where we were going.
Yep.
So we could all be going in the same direction together. And then there's other times, you know, like we've said, we're just kind of let things go.
And just kind of
thought, yeah.
Yeah. And you let it go. I'm telling you, you let it go. And people are like, oh, that's okay. Oh, yeah. That's okay. And that crap spreads, right? That becomes contagious to the whole team.
Absolutely.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So holding the people we lead accountable is so important. We've talked about things that are necessary for us to hold people accountable. But for those that are saying, I'm not really sure how to get started, I'm not really sure like what to do, what are some next steps that you guys can give to help us get started?
Well, I think it'd behoove all of us, and behoove. Have I used that word before? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It would be beneficial to all of us. It would be beneficial to all of us right now, whatever you're leading, your team, your group, your next gen group, your T-Life group, the ministry as directors, you know, the department, to ask the question, going back to the word we said earlier, where am I frustrated, or where are the people that I'm leading frustrated? Is something being created that I don't like is on my team, or, you know, where am I frustrated? Wherever you are frustrated. So, you know, when you get done listening, right, you know, to this podcast, go and, hey, ask that question. Where am I frustrated? And then evaluate if you've been clear. Have I been clear? If not, hold yourself accountable and get clarity before you do before you try to hold them accountable, right? Because it starts with clarity. So where am I frustrated? Have I been clear? Because here's the deal. If you haven't, this is hard to hear for some of us. Your frustration's your fault. So don't try to hold them accountable for something that's your own dang fault, right? Start with yourself. Take extreme ownership of your leadership. If you have been clear, you're like, I'm frustrated, and I've been clear, man. I've repeated it. I've celebrated. I've addressed it. You know, you got to then at that point in time really go back and ask the question, how effectively am I holding people accountable? If you've been clear, it's probably something being created because not holding accountable. So go back, and maybe what you need to do is you need to start repeating it more frequently. What's expected? Here's what we're trying to do. You just need to start repeating it more frequently. Or maybe you need to start rewarding it. You're like, I just said, maybe you haven't done that. Just start rewarding it. Or maybe you need to do a really hard thing and you need to address it. You need to address either an individual, or you need to address the whole team or the whole group. By the way, if you're doing all this and people still end up not meeting expectations or not coming through. And, you know, to my example, people just keep being late every single time. And I've addressed it. At some point in time as leaders, and I know this is hard to hear maybe in your team or your group, especially when you're leading volunteers, but at some point in time, you maybe have to let them go, because what you tolerate will determine what you create. With my T-Life group, you know, Christy and I lead a college-age T-Life group, and we make it very, very clear about them being committed to the T-Life group. If you're going to be in this T-Life group, it doesn't matter what you believe, but you have to be committed to be here and, you know, consistently. We realize we all have things come up and you can't be. When people aren't there, they're missing. You know, they missed a week. We call, hey, we miss you. You know, we call them up, miss you. If they start missing consistently, like, hey, we address it. Hey, man, you said you're going to be committed to this group. We need you to be committed to this group. Because when you're not committed, we go back to the why. When you're not committed, then you come in every once a month. It creates this weirdness with the group. We can't create community with one another. And then at the end of every trimester, we've had those conversations throughout. At the end of every single trimester, if someone still just doesn't end up being committed to be there consistently, we let them go. And we say, hey, man, we just can't be a part of the group anymore. When you want to commit and you want to be here consistently, we want you back. But until then, I'm sorry, we can't have you part of our T-Life group. So I realize there's some T-Life group leaders listening right now that's like, that's what you need to do. Have you repeated it? Have you celebrated it? And have you addressed it along the way? Before you do that, if you got to let them go, you better have addressed it along the way.
Yeah. So Ronnie, you talked about, you know, if there's something that's frustrating you, I wanted to just real quick kind of throw in, because, like, I know myself, I know you, I know different personality types. And I remember, when we were first doing this thing called the strength deployment inventory, and I was getting assessed myself, and the guy who was assessing me said, Nick, you probably never get frustrated, do you? And I'm the type of person, especially, like, I'm thinking of different group leaders who are maybe, you know, leading people in their T-Life group that are just aren't consistent. And we wouldn't say we're frustrated. We wouldn't say, like, we're mad. Like, I don't even like using the word frustrated, because I'm a peacemaker. But I know when things aren't right. I know when things should be different. I know when things just are making me kind of uneasy. You know, we have with our staff orientation group, most of the people on our team, we're all small group leaders for staff orientation. Most people on the team have been on the team for a while and really close with each other, know each other well. The truth is, we love to give each other crap. And sometimes that's fun. Sometimes it goes a little bit too far. Sometimes it makes people feel bad. And what I noticed, I don't know, a few months back, was that we had a new leader on the team, that every time we would give each other a hard time, it would make that new leader just feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The truth is, it didn't really bother me that much that people were giving each other a hard time, but I could tell it was causing other leaders, other people, to be uncomfortable. And so I would have never said, like, oh, I'm so frustrated with my group in this. But I definitely knew, like, we needed to do something about it. And I knew that as a leader, whatever I was going to tolerate, you know, was going to determine what happens. And so, you know, accountability is so key. It's so important. It's so just crucial in everything that we do. So you guys have done a great job, been really helpful today. Is there any final thoughts? Could be on anything that you guys want to share. It doesn't have to be specific about accountability, but just, you know, final thoughts.
Well, I couldn't end our time together without just sharing my heart of my role as the Next Gen Director. And accountability is so important, because as leaders that you're listening to this, there are people on your team that are watching you, and they're coming after you. You're being an example for them to be highly effective influencers, to be team leaders. And so what you tolerate, you create, but you're also raising up leaders to take your spot. And so to me, getting this right helps with furthering God's kingdom in the future by raising up leaders who are coming after you.
Yeah, because we want to be highly effective influencers who are reproducing other leaders. Well, do you want the next leader to look like you? Well, be the best version of you, you know, to help them be the best version of them. I mean, we know Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So be the best leader. They can imitate the best leader. Yeah. What you tolerate determines what you create. So, man, let's all take extreme ownership in that. Hold the people you lead accountable. And yeah, you and I have a much better chance to see created what we want so badly to be created.
Yeah, Ronnie and Ashley, thanks so much for your time. Honestly, thanks for your insight, for your thought. You are both two of the best leaders that I know. I've watched both of you keep people on your team accountable. We're a better church because of it. So thank you both for joining us today. And for those of you who are listening out there, as always, thanks for joining us and investing in yourself as a leader. Make sure to subscribe to whatever platform you're listening to the Relevant Leader Monthly on so that you can get it automatically updated every month. So thanks for joining us, everyone.